Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John, Lance, and Dell. Got 2 hours to go if you want to get in. Let's go, 713-780-3776. Apparently we have a caller here named Baxter. Baxter wants to talk on the show. Hey, Baxter.
Hey, what's going on? Long-time listener here. I've been listening to y'all since, I don't know, before the 99, whenever y'all had the Rome days. Anyway, I moved here to Frisco up here in the Dallas area like 15 years ago, and I still listen to y'all every day. Follow Houston sports.
Nice.
I started watching hockey, and I knew whenever you said that you were going to be at the hockey game last night, I knew you were going to be on the front row. And I'm the one who posted the picture. I want to apologize for calling you out on that because you gave me some advice years ago. I was just married in 2009, and we met at Yanni's 40th birthday. And I introduced you to my new wife, and you said, oh, that's sweet. That's nice. Now I can start the clock and get it over with. And my wife looked at me crazy, like, who is this guy? But as the years go on, things started getting bad. I remember that advice you gave me. And about a year ago, I got divorced. And I tell you what, it was the best thing getting done with that first one. So I want to apologize for putting you on Twitter, but I want to thank you for the advice that you gave me years ago.
I mean, look at this. Another success story, John.
But just, it's heartwarming.
You just created, there's another success story. As men continue to celebrate, first it's Jared celebrating where you told him to divorce his wife because she made him go. I didn't say this was bad advice, but you made him go. Remember, she made him go get ice cream during a Rockets playoff game. I think it was a game 7, actually. And you said, get rid of her. And he ended up doing. He ended up getting rid of her. And here's another one. And you know what? Both these guys are very happy. Both of these guys are pleased with their decision making. So in a way, you're an anti-matchmaker.
It's tried and true. There's nothing I can do about it. Okay.
And does this advice go for the other gender as well? They need to get rid of their first husband because the next one will be better too, or is it just for men?
It's for everybody.
Okay. So
it just doesn't work out.
So Baxter's first wife is going to be much happier too as well.
And you said it in her face. Start the clock and get it over with.
Like she's a prospect. Like a minor league prospect.
Like Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah, let's start the clock.
There's no more call-ups.
Spencer Arrighetti.
And then
started
Baxter
the clock.
Designated her for assignment.
Why?
Just DFA'd her. Any other success stories, guys? 713-780-3776. I love that Baxter called just to, John, you told me to hurry up and get it over with. And just want to let you know, it started going bad and here we are, and it's the best decision I ever made. I mean, that's considered a success story on our show, but it is what it is. It's just, that's happened. Hey, my number two was the winner also, so was yours. So I can never, like, I don't want to tell people this is what they need to do. I just sit in my head and say, he may have a point. He may have a point. I'm not trying to condone it, but I'm just going off I'm a numbers guy. And I'm just going off the numbers. And the probability says that's the case. Oh, my God. Does that say MPD?
No, it says Mito. What's wrong
with
your eyes?
Oh, it's Mito. I thought that was MPD. I've got this giant sun in my face blasting
it's
me in
the
eyes.
It's just the light.
Let's get Mito in here. What's up, Mito?
Hey. You know, I love the whole crew. I love all y'all. But, you know, let me give Johnny G his flowers, man. One day we're at an ESPN party, and I walked up with my wife, my first wife. And I was like, yo, this is my first wife. Or this is my wife. And Johnny D is like, hey, is this your first one? He pulled me to the side. He's like, this is your first one? He's like, get rid of her, man.
cut your losses, get out of there. Fast forward now, divorced 2 years happily, saving money, seeing my babies whenever I want, man. Thank you, John G., man of the people.
Wow, another success story, John. This is now two in a row. Where you've been able to
I don't even realize
you pulled man, people in the direction of divorce.
You pulled a man aside at a party and were like, hey, man, is this your first one? Get rid of her? You must have been drunk.
My son-in-law is not too pleased with this bit, he says.
Of course not.
Yeah.
He's like, no, not,
oh,
not
he
her.
It's a bit.
Other women.
Yeah.
You're
other, going to hear the divorces right now.
Well, you would be telling your daughter to get
rid
of him. Has
John caused you to have a divorce? Even if you say it's very good for you. 713-780-3776. I didn't realize Mito was another one. But there we go, John. We're now three deep. 713-780-3776. I found your superpower.
I understand.
Convincing men to leave their wives.
He's like a harlot. He's like a siren, except he's not a woman. He just tells them things. I thought he would just do it over the phone, like as a radio guy. Hey, leave your wife. I couldn't imagine he would pull a guy aside and go, hey, man, is this your first one? Dump her.
Get rid of her.
What?
Trust me. And then what does everyone say? Well, I mean, he ended up being right.
Well,
shortly thereafter,
well,
of course, he's planting the odds. He's planting
a
seed.
A marriage, generally, well, we know the divorce rate. They generally don't work out. So.
Oh, right now it's coin is spoken divorce rate.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally heads or tails.
Flip.
Heads
it.
I stay married, tails I don't. The coin is spoken.
The coin has spoken.
Hey, listen, if it is a success story if it works out, right? Now, there's some guys out there, you've been married for 30, 40, 50 years. That's great. I mean, it could have been better. If you had gotten divorced, but it's great. If you're happy, you're happy.
Can I dig deeper into this particular methodology?
Yeah.
So when you tell anyone, because you think it works for both genders, tell someone to get divorced because the second one will work out. If you're talking to a guy, is part of it go younger as well, or does that not matter?
When they're younger, what?
If you divorce... Because obviously that's not going to work out the first marriage. It's part of the methodology to make it great the second time around is to go younger with the...
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay,
no, just find the right
matter.
Person.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Find the right person, that's all.
In your life, with your friends, do they generally go younger?
I don't have a lot of married friends anymore.
Look at Lance.
I don't have a lot of married friends
okay.
anymore.
Okay, are they dating younger then?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay. They're dating younger. Okay.
What did you think?
But I don't think
they were older.
No,
not older, but the same age.
The age thing doesn't matter.
He says it doesn't matter.
Sure, he did.
No.
Because it's an unsaid thing. Guys are always going to go younger. That's an unsaid thing.
Well, so should women. So should women, because we're on the downslide at 18. Okay.
It's looked at as less.
No, we're not. We're actually coming up. It takes us
longer
women, to get there.
Women are at their best in their 30s. Men are at their peak physically at 18.
Well, but we're much better people when we're older. Much
better
people.
Oh, we're much better people. Yeah, but not.
That helps a marriage, not your
relationship. You're not marrying an 18-year-old, you weirdo.
No woman wants to marry an
18-year-old when they're in their peak.
Some do.
Well,
no,
not
they
to marry.
Dumbo idiots who are
Mary
18
Joe
like
Letourneau.
Me and you were 18.
No woman wants to marry an 18-year-old man.
Mary Jo Letourneau.
In her second
not
marriage.
Mary Jo Letourneau. We're not doing these famous terrible people.
I've never seen that on TikTok and Scram where women, when they give each other advice, hey, you know what you should do after your first divorce?
No.
Go marry
go
an
18-year-old.
They go
the other way, John. They go old and money.
Yeah, money. That's
old
the key.
And money, not 18.
Dell, it
and
ain't
broke.
About age.
Oh, look
it's
at these six pack. And he's
it's
broke.
It's about cash.
Because guess what he's looking for you at to be, sugar mama?
Are you, though?
It's about cash. It's not about
so,
love.
What does Tony,
out, guys.
Tony say? My hot young second wife and I are listening to the segment and enjoying it immensely.
Well, let me tell you something. Wins. Tony did well.
We met Tony.
Tony, if you ever go through Tony's Instagram.
I met Tony's wife.
And they're at the rave, and she's dressed up for the rave.
At John's birthday party
Super
Bowl
Tony,
party.
Yeah.
And I know Tony's. Tony was fine on number one. I thought he was doing fine on number one.
But,
I mean, listen, I'm a numbers guy.
What, are, just your, what are your numbers saying?
What the data says.
The data? You mean the picture
John
you're looking
is,
at?
John might be an analytics guy.
Mm-hmm. That's what the numbers
John
are saying.
John might be an analytics guy because the data says that John may be correct. If you just follow historical trends.
Look at the data.
The data says that. I'm not in favor of anyone getting divorced. I'm not in favor. I want everyone to have a good marriage.
I don't mind it.
I'm just telling you what the data says. I'm objective. And the data says, you know.
The data says older gentleman gets tired or let's just say the relationship just doesn't work out.
Well,
and
she gets tired of the guy.
Yeah, certainly. He picks
she gets tired of the guy is a big part of this too.
A younger, beautiful woman to be part of his life. Oddly enough, he's happy.
Oddly enough. All right, we got to break it. 713-780. If you've got a success story, you're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776.
When we come back, we got to talk about the situation with Framber Valdez going to the 15-day IL because this is now Justin Verlander the other day called the pitching stuff, the arm stuff with pitchers a pandemic. Right now, I want to see how panicky you are because I'm in a bit of a panic about the Astros 12 games in.
I'm in a bit of a panic if I haven't done anything about my roof. Okay. How about BrinkmanQuality.com? It's Brinkman Quality. Okay. In the name, Brinkman Quality Roofing Services. Listen, what do you need? Compositions, shingles? Got it. Tile or slate? Got it. Metal roofing? Got it. Flat or TPO? Do you need to repair and maintain? They even do siding. But the solar now, they're shingles. They're not the big glass things that you know, that's really ugly on your roof. It's shingles now. Really, really, really cool. And it's going to save you a boatload of money. You need gutters? They'll do that. They do anything. I mean, it is really, really, really. They have been doing this for over 50 years. Jason is awesome. He knows everything there is about roofing. He says, listen, you got these guys that come to the house and they knock on the door and they go up and they fix your roof. I got to come. Inevitably, two months later, I've got to come and fix what they did. You got to go with quality. When you're talking about your roof, go with Brinkman, B-R-I-N-K-M-A-N-N, BrinkmanQuality.com, 281-480-7663. Tell Jason you heard it here.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I was just watching Ben McDonald, former pitcher, Orioles color guy.
Yep.
He was talking about max effort. He's talking about it's unnatural what we're doing now, bringing the spin that we want to get on baseballs to the field, and it's more unnatural. He said back in his day, you know, 9-10 guys would get hurt, 9 would be shoulder, 1 would be elbow. Now it's 9 elbows and 1 shoulder.
Well,
and it's because of how we're trying to spin it and how we are, how much max velocity we're coming at all the time, as opposed to, he said, I threw 90%, 95%, but if I had to get a big out, I'd throw it 100%. But for the most part, I didn't throw that hard the whole game. So, yeah, getting the spin is so important today. And I think that's got to be the biggest reason why all of these guys are going down with elbows is because they're trying to put so much spin on the ball.
I think, let me bring this up then. So Dr. James Andrews said it used to be he'd have like 6 or 7 UCL injuries that he would do on the high school level and everything else was major league. And he said now it is completely flipped where most of his injuries, most of the surgeries he's doing is on the youth level, which is so it's not pitch clock. Listen, I have no idea how they're trying to get there with pitch clock. It's going to be exactly what you're saying. I think it's some of it is wear and tear on youth baseball, which they say can wear down the arm. And even if you're not having Tommy John surgery when you're young, there's a wear and tear that's not going to go away that is going to catch up with you. But let me ask this tough question. The Houston Astros, from the beginning of Jeff Leno's stint here, coveted spin rate. They said, this is the secret sauce, and we're going to make sure that everyone
is throwing curveballs. Everyone's going to be throwing curveballs. We're going to search for curveballs. It used to be you would deal with fastballs and sliders and splitters. That was a lot of what Major League Pitching was. Then curveballs came back in a big way. And for the Astros, philosophically, they want to change levels, eye levels. They want to go upper eye level, lower eye level. There's some sweepers that they like throwing. But curveball was a really big deal with Jeff Leneau and, of course, by extension with Brent Strom. So look at these pitchers who have the elbow issues. These Astros, and you know the Astros focus on this, and I'm sure they're focusing on this in the minor leagues as well. Look how many pitchers they have with the same issue. Is this? I wonder if this has anything to do with how the Astros really hyper-focus on this. Whether it's Garcia or Urquidy or McCullers, who's been in the system forever, Justin Verlander, who got here, who has his own thoughts. We'll hear from him here in just a second. Ari Alexander had a great video with Justin Verlander talking about it. And now Framber Valdez. Is there something to maybe the Astros, who have been all in on spin rates since 2014, or actually before then, with Jeff Leneau? Is this something that is kind of Astros related because they're heavy into spin rate and always have been, and they are through their minor league system?
Well, I mean, it's not just an Astros thing. It's throughout all the baseball.
It is, but we're looking at five pitchers on one staff.
Yeah. yeah, obviously the Astros, they subscribe to it. So should it be surprising that their guys are down too? But it's I think this is all of baseball now. I mean, it's all of baseball. The spin rate is really taken. And exit velo, spin rate, swing and miss. You know, all of those things that were not at all important have taken over all of baseball, and now everybody's looking for that.
Well, it was always important. You just didn't know it wasn't quantified. You just say, "Man, that guy has this is one of John's roughest days on his throat ever." It was the 12-6 curveball. You know, oh, look at that, Uncle Charlie! Look at that fall off the plate, the 12-6. You just didn't, you know, you didn't call it spin rate. You just said he has a real sharp breaking pitch. Justin Verlander talked about how he used to work at 92 and 93 in his career, and then he started getting hit hard, and he had to worry about swing and miss more, so he juiced up his fastball. He said, I used to be able to hit 100 on the gun, but I wouldn't. There was no need. I was just cruising, and, you know, you wouldn't reach back and throw at that level, and now everyone is throwing at that level. So, I don't know how it changes. Let's hear from Justin Verlander. Listen to this. This is when he was at Sugarland. I think it's before his start that he had. But I don't think we've played this sound. This is really intriguing sound from Justin Verlander.
If you're kind of an outlier guy that's always thrown hard, there's a guy like Aroldis Chapman, an outlier guy. You've largely been healthy, so is he. Is there anything that you feel like you or Chapman have done to kind of stay healthy within throwing max effort for so long?
I mean, you're also talking to a guy like Tommy John, not ironically, after the,
you know, the rehab, sorry, I know.
Well, not just that. I think, you know, this goes back to how my mentality changes as a pitcher. You know, I went from throwing, you know, you look back at before 2015-16, and I was throwing, you know, 92-93 early in games, and if I, you know, needed to go to the well and hit 100, I could late in games, but I certainly wasn't throwing 100 every pitch. The game dictated that I needed to start trying to throw harder almost every pitch, so my average velocity jumped up, you know, because my intent jumped up, and I had to look for swing and miss, and I don't know how long you can do that as a starter. I that might have had something to do with it, but I think the ability to naturally do it is a large part of it. I mean, I think you look at individuals, and everybody's built different. You know, you look at Aroldis's mechanics versus my mechanics, and they're just vastly different, but can both throw triple digits, or used to be able to. For myself, he still can. But it's like, you know, it's like the gait of a horse. Like, you know, like there's some horses that have been the best in the world at their time, and they don't run the same as some of the other best horses after their generation. You know, it's like it's a... and this is kind of, again, one of the things that I nitpick a little bit with mechanical tweaks too early on in a development process is you got to find your own gait, man. You know, you got to find your own way to throw baseball. And if that naturally leads you to being able to throw hard and have success, great. If not, you meet an ends road in your career, whatever that may be, high school, Division I, minor leagues, AAA, big leagues. If you reach that end of the path and you need help, then you go help. Then you go find ways to throw harder and make yourself do it because you want to reach that next level, but not before.
That's pretty interesting. You know, here's the problem. Anytime you start dealing with youth this, youth that, the coaches, unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of coaches who live vicariously through the kids. Not all, but there are some. And their entire thing is going to be about winning, and it's not going to be about what's best for the pitcher, because what's best for the pitcher is probably going to be not giving you everything they possibly can with breaking pitches, potentially with amount of time that they're working. You have to really dial it back. You can't play as many months as you want to, maybe baseball-wise. You've got to – orthopedic surgeons say you have to take a break from baseball. You can't pick a baseball up. It's one of those things that can really do damage to an arm. They say the UCL doesn't fully – the Tommy John ligament does not fully develop until age 26. I read that yesterday. It doesn't develop until age 26, which is why there are so many injuries pre-26 on pitching arms. Lance McCullers, for example, was younger than 26 when he had his first injury, I believe. So it's definitely a concern, and Justin Verlander had great advice. I just don't think anyone's going to heed it. And I think when this issue starts early on and you have injury issues early on, then it makes sense that you're going to start seeing the same thing happen as these same guys who come from youth baseball continue. You'll notice a lot of these pitchers, I'm trying to go through it. I was looking at some of the names. Does it seem more American than Latin American? I mean, we're dealing with, you know, we're dealing with Garcia, and we deal with Urquidy, and of course Fromber. But does it seem like Strider,
we have more.
Bieber, Strasburg, like... It seems like there's plenty of American pitchers who are dealing with this, who come from American youth baseball. Then again, I don't, you know, they play a lot of baseball in the Dominican Republic. I would imagine they would just shut it down after 3 months.
No, they don't. All right, we got to break it. 713-780-3776 on the other side. There's a guy I want to ask you about for the draft for the Texans and on day two. We'll do that on the other side.
But we also have Ryan left. We had what was considered a success story.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't know what that actually
maybe
means.
Ryan will call back in. I do know this. Okay, so I talk about Kent Jones over at Dream Rate, and I talk about how he, you know, he has less expenses, okay? He literally has a lot less expenses. He only advertises here. This is the only place. So he's got low overhead. Giant retail operations are expensive. But you don't know unless you shop your loan. Shop your loan. Okay, you don't know how much money you can save. You don't know how hard that mortgage broker is going to work for you until you shop it. And by the way, you can find out, you know, you want to get a mortgage. You want to know, okay, how much is the house? This is how much we're going to put down. I mean, a lot of places. I mean, you can find out. Kent will tell you, okay, this is what your payments are looking like. But he can help you a lot with a lot of different stuff. There's all kinds of stuff that he can get, and he can find deals for you, okay? So when you go to sit at the table for your mortgage, you're not just signing away, oh, this expense, that expense, this and this and this. He's awesome. He is going to work hard on that deal for you and save you as much as he possibly can. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, LTV, all of them. He's got them. Brokers are better. Go with this broker, the ultimate mortgage hookup, Dream Rate, 713-520-5626, 713-520-5626, or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473, J. Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew...
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. So Lance, somebody tweeted out Georgia's Javon Bullard. What did you see of him? Said this would be a perfect second day pick for the Texans.
Well, that's what I put that out there about, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago when I went through what second round picks two through four look like, and I put Javon Bullard's name in there as the second pick of the second round. A lot of people think he's going in the third. He is a safety who is really more of a nickel corner. He can play. He's stout. He can really stop the run. Reminds me in some ways of Kareem Jackson toward the end of his career with, you know, where they moved him inside to nickel, and because he was so good against the run, and that was what a lot of teams were starting to do. They were getting away from small corners and going to better run stoppers since you're in base nickel so much as a defense. And so Javon Bullard can play right there in the slot. He can cover in the slot okay. He plays around the line of scrimmage, really good tackler, really physical, has some cover talent too. I like him. I think that is a legitimate option for the Texans. I think it should be a legitimate option for the Texans when they're looking at their base offense or their base defense being a nickel because, frankly, I think he fits the DeMeco system. I mean, he's a Kirby Smart guy. And a lot of Kirby Smart guys are going to be DeMeco guys. It's just kind of the same mentality. So, yeah, I like Javon Bullard. It may not be at 59. It may be sometime in the third, but I put him at 59 because I think he's a plug-and-play guy pretty quickly at nickel.
Yeah, so safety is definitely going to be a need, right?
Yeah, I was thinking Tyler Newbin from Minnesota, who's the best safety at 42, but you know his athletic scores weren't great, but his ball production, and like he's very smart football player. I don't have a good feel yet for how DeMeco will view a guy who ran a 4.61 40, didn't jump great. Like I don't know how heavy he leans into athletic scores versus production and intelligence and instincts. I don't really have a feel yet. I haven't seen him draft a safety, so I don't know if there's certain standards that he won't pass up on, like that, or that he is too adhesive to, where he says, nope, we're not going to have a 4.6 safety. That's just not something we're going to have. So I don't really know that, but there are some safeties in the draft. My favorite is Rabbit Demerson Thompson, I think his name. I call him Rabbit. Diedrich Rabbit's his nickname. But he is a safety out of Texas Tech who should be a third-round pick. And, man, do I like him. Ton of ball production, extremely instinctive, tested like a maniac, only about 190-ish, maybe 195 pounds. So he's got decent size, but, man, he is fast, is explosive, has great ball instincts. I think he's really flying under the public radar a little bit. I think teams know he's a top 100 player, but I had a team tell me they didn't think they love him, and they didn't think he'd go until the fourth round. So I don't know. That's the guy. If you hear that, Texas Tech safety, Demerson Thompson, just know that Lance is very excited about that. I think he'd be a great Texan.
Okay. A couple of, what's the latest on Sweat?
Tavondre Sweat and the teams I've spoken with believe he'll fall to day three. There is a lot of concern about his discipline and a lot of concern about decision-making. The weight stuff, it's too far out there behind in football circles that he was played heavy at Texas. I mean, you know it with the eyes, but it's much heavier than the 350 that he was he was listed at. They say during the season, scouts who went in there said he was in the 370s. The talk before Senior Bowl was that, you know, that he, I think he weighed in. I heard this from an agent yesterday that he weighed in at Senior Bowl and that they agreed that they would not list the weight and because it was so high. And then, so he didn't have a weight at Senior Bowl, even though it's the first time I'd ever seen that where they didn't put a height and weight on a player. And then, which I thought was very troubling because I figured that was why I thought he just said, no, I'm not going to do it, which is also an issue. Then when he's at the combine, he got down to 366, which I thought, well, that's not bad based on the number I heard where he was. But you add that up with the fact that, you know, there's some other stuff. His discipline and his work ethic, I think, is in question. And now you add decision making this late in the draft process, being day drunk on a Sunday. Once again, I mean, teams don't like doing that in the first three rounds, but fourth round, all sins are absolved, and you start taking guys in the fourth round. So I think he's got a chance to go into third, late in the third. His talent is, you know, early second because he's such a run stopper. And if he's got his stuff together and his mind right, then, you know, that's where he, I think he would have gone. But unfortunately, I just think that he's put too many doubts in coaches, especially coaches don't like dealing with that. So I think he ends up falling to the early fourth, maybe late third.
And so I don't know that anything has anything. I guess wide receiver is the only thing. Okay, does it change anything for the Texans that it's only a one-year deal now for Stephon Diggs?
Well,
I mean, it might.
I mean, I don't think it changes anything now. I think what they did was they gave themselves an opportunity at the end of the year. They can say, okay, what do we want to do with Stephon Diggs and what do we want to do with Nico Collins? I mean, to me, they allowed themselves – this is a true go-forward move now. You gave up a second. Granted, you get a fifth and a sixth back. But you gave up a second next year so that you could rent – you could just rent Stephon Diggs. But, you know, John, you think about it. The Texans have put themselves in the driver's seat by saying, we're not going to be held hostage by Stephon Diggs. Number one, we know we're going to get his best effort because it's contract year, and he's going to be happy he's getting to – you know, that he's going to get to the market. Number two, if we don't like him, we just cut bait and it's over. And then if he, when he leaves and signs, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a third round pick because for sure, as long as you don't sign more free agents, then you lose.
No, I think, no, the max they could get on it is a fifth.
Yeah. Because of his age.
That's right. Because of his age. I forgot about that. After 31, I think it changes.
Before we move on, can we get back to Vondre Sweat for a second? Because you mentioned the combine and they said they didn't even list his weight.
Senior Bowl.
They didn't list his weight. Well, he was there and for some reason.
Oh boy.
Hold on.
Oh boy.
Do we
have leaked footage?
Yeah. He was asked about what was going on, because, you know, he's hanging out and people were talking to him. He was asked about what people were saying about him.
Meathead, fatso, lard butt, Wally the whale.
Porky, hog, fat ass, double wide, butterball, those sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
That sounded like Ed Dodge from the Colts talking to Vondre Sweat.
Wait a minute. He sounded young.
Well, he's a young guy.
He is young, John.
He's like 22, right?
Wow. Yeah. So, he is really still young.
So
he's
this
still
has
young.
Been following him around from the combine to now, unfortunately.
Well, I didn't know that we had a mic'd up segment.
Thank gosh. What would we have done without that?
Man.
What are we going to do without Aqueduct Plumbing? We don't have to worry about that. We got Billy Brown on the scene right now. He is ready for you. If you've got any issue whatsoever, but you need to put this number in your phone, 281-488-6238, because at any point you could need Aqueduct Plumbing. I'd never needed a plumber for I don't know how many years. My whole life. I don't know whenever I got a plumber, but then all of a sudden I needed him like 3 months in a row. I was like, oh, sorry, Billy, but I need another guy out here. And boy, were they something. We had a leak outside and in the sink out there, and then we had the link, the one in the bathroom that was causing all of our floorboards to come. It was just awful, awful. And Billy came, bing, 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 done, found the leak, and then set us up with Resto Pros, who did the rest. You're looking for a plumber, Lance. We've both used them, and we can't speak highly enough for
them. No, and it's also like the small jobs too. I mean, the big jobs, obviously, but just leaking. Just leaking. You see watermarks in a shower, and you think, man, something's going on behind the wall. They can get that taken care of. They can get a leaky faucet that you continue to have issues even after you get it fixed with somebody. They go in there and actually get to the root of the problems. They get to every problem. They figure it out quickly. They never charge you for going out to your home. Aqueduct Plumbing Company. That's the company you need to use. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
ESPN. 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ooh, not a good story. This is not a nice story Dell, that you've pointed out here that is a developing story right now. University of Washington football player is facing charges for allegedly raping two women in Seattle last year, according to court documents. Tylan Tybo Rogers on Friday. They've arrested him on Friday. His bail set at $150,000. When he played in both games, allegedly after the aforementioned alleged rapes.
Yeah, at least one of the incidents was reported to police on October 28th, which you would imagine that Washington knew about and the football program knew about. And he went on to play in both. Well, he went on to play the rest of the year.
Well, he was apparently suspended for the Oregon game after his in the initial accusation. He did not travel with for the victory over the Oregon Ducks in the Pac-12 championship game on December 1st.
Okay.
But then he played after.
In both playoff games.
Yeah.
How do you handle that, though? I mean, they made, you know, just being open-minded about this, they immediately suspended him for a game, and then he didn't play the next game either, John, you said? The championship game against Washington?
He didn't play. No, just in that championship game.
Okay, so he didn't, and then you have a time between that. You had a full month, basically. So I don't know what came out. I don't think he'll take too much heat. I mean, he will take heat, but I guess it depends on what, how much they knew, like what the circumstances were, what they found out, how credible. I don't know. I don't know what goes into it, like. It's a really tough one. There's no easy answer.
Well, credible enough to be charged now.
Yeah, right. Right.
So the police, we've read.
But charged now, right?
Yes, but the incident was reported back then. So I don't know what their policy is about if even an alleged attack means you have to be suspended. But the incident was reported. They knew about it. Apparently you mentioned the suspension, and then they decided that whatever they knew wasn't enough to keep them out of the playoffs.
The NCAA made that decision?
Well, the Washington, the football
team.
Okay. Yeah. Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator, told Sports Illustrated that they were working through some things, some challenges he's had off the field. And that is pretty damning for the program, seeing as how they continued to play him afterwards. And so it's proof that they did know about.
Okay, so now, who does it hit? Does it hit Washington? Does it hit Alabama? The player and the coach? Well, the player obviously has his own legal issues now. Kalen DeBoer, like, I don't think this sticks, and it's certainly not going to touch. I don't think it touches Washington, but I don't know. Oh, their AD left also, so no, I don't think there's anyone even left. As a matter of fact, Washington, pretty much all of their players have gone. Almost their entire staff is gone. Their AD's gone. The players all transferred out. Like, Washington is a shell of itself. It's unbelievable. Jed Fish has, like, a brand new team. So it's not going to hit them. It's not going to hit Washington if anything happens. Plus, this is no one hit anything. It's just going to be interesting to see what DeBoer. He'll squirm a little bit, but I don't think anything happens here other than whatever's going to happen legally.
Well, unless Alabama has buyer's remorse and then goes, well, we can't have this.
Well, they won't with Kalen DeBoer. Oh, there's been lots of stuff happening in Alabama.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that, but you just go,
now,
well.
Now, the running back, out of here.
Well, the running back isn't at Alabama.
Oh, wait, where the running? I thought he transferred with them.
I don't see
no,
that.
So I thought you said that.
It is. The spring game is this Saturday, so it's not like he will be able to hide because they broadcast that game. I don't know if ESPN will ask him about it, but there will be media focused on Alabama this Saturday. So maybe he will have to answer a couple questions.
Maybe. ESPN ain't going to be the one to answer it.
Have to,
be to ask it.
Do you think he has the same type of control over the local media that
no.
Saban did? So maybe they'll ask the questions.
No, local media might. Yeah, local media might for sure. Now that they can finally ask questions and not get the scary face, they might be willing to do it. Let's get Ryan in here before we get to a break. What's up, Ryan? How are we doing?
Hey, sports talk.
Sports.
Hey, so I started listening to the station full-time in 2019. I was divorced from my first wife in 2021. Do you think that's a coincidence? Because I'm a lot happier now.
Huh. John?
Hmm. listen,
Dr. John.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but as long as your life is better for it, I mean, we're not going to take credit for it, for your divorce, but we just don't do that. We just don't do that. We don't grab congratulations.
You can predict the weather pattern, and it could be a bad weather could come in, and you don't celebrate that you predicted bad weather coming in. You just say, look, that's my job. I just make observations based on the information and intel.
I have a question, because this show certainly is faith-based. We know John went to a black church.
Yeah.
Do we care or believe in the sanctity of marriage on this show?
John, I do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I do.
Okay.
You don't.
Because, I don't get married because I know I don't want to. So I do believe in it. I just don't want to do it. I'm aware it exists.
You believe in it for other people.
Yes, for other people. I'm happy if you get married. Just don't invite me to your wedding. I don't want to be part of that.
You wouldn't.
Don't want that. But we are aware that it's important, but we are also aware that it's fleeting, at least the first time.
We're just pointing out the numbers.
Okay.
If somebody's batting average goes way down, like if we're talking about, John, do you hate Jose Abreu?
No, I don't hate
him. Does the data tell you that he's not a good hitter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's what the data tells you.
So is marriage an Abreu-type disaster or Bregman and April-type disaster?
This is not my question.
First marriage. The first marriage.
It's April.
First marriage is Abreu to the Astros.
No, the first marriage is Alex Bregman. The first marriage is Bregman. Yeah, is Bregman in April. And then what does he do when he gets to the summer? To a new life.
The first marriage
starts to take off.
Well, no, the first marriage is Carlos Correa. We had a good time, but then time to go. Gotta go.
Because the first marriage cost too much?
Cost too much.
Okay, you're not willing to pay for that anymore?
Well, I mean, look at what he said. I'm Louis Vuitton. I ain't Walmart. I'm Louis Vuitton.
Well, then that like means that. He left you.
Well,
then Carlos
left you.
You
weren't. No. Carlos wanted to stay, but you said, sorry.
But he's Louis Vuitton.
We ain't paying for that no more.
That's not why weddings. That's not why first marriages break up. That's not a good one.
Yeah. Well, and
it was
some
of them, you're right. It's mistakes. It's Montero. It's Montero contract.
It's Montero.
Like, oh God, what have I done? At least mine. I had to be like, immediately I knew it was not the right decision. Kind of like when I saw his contract. And then you're like, oh no, this is, how long do I have to wait this out? Oh boy, I guess I'll try to make it work. Let's bring Montero in. Oh no, it happened just like I thought it would. Let's bring Montero in again. This is a bad contract.
this is all we're just having fun for those of you in your first marriage. And
yeah,
your wife
I'm
is
sure yours,
looking
is gonna,
at,
yours is going to work great.
Your wife is sitting there looking at you right now like, oh, this is real funny. This is what you listen to?
Well, maybe
this
great
is,
show.
Well, maybe she's thinking of leaving him.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Right, maybe.
Maybe he's maybe. Looking at her a little weird because he senses something. It's not gender specific. It could be any.
No.
Either one could be like, I'm out of here.
It's true. And listen. And in a lot of instances, you're a lot happy for it.
You both are a lot happier for it, which leads to my belief is don't get married in the first place. You would always be happy.
We got to break it here. 713-780-3776. We're going to talk about the Zadok.
Zadok Jewelers, 45 years in the business, 2,800 square foot of jewelry perfection. Honestly, blown away when I went in. I mean, I legitimately could not believe what I was looking at. I knew the Zadok name for years. I'd seen the commercials. I'd seen everything that was so amazing. But when I got in there, one of the first things that caught my eye were the watch selection. And, you know, they are boutique. They are the only boutique watch. They're the boutique watch store, I guess. I don't know how to exactly tell
Jeweler?
You. Yeah, jeweler, but they've got a carve-out. They've got a carve-out section where the watches are in there, and every one of these carve-out sections, these boutiques, are incredible within the 28,000 square feet. And you see the top names, and I mean the biggest names in watches and names that are huge internationally that you've never heard of. But when you get educated on it, like I was the other day, I spent 2.5 hours in there the other day, and I didn't even get all the information that I wanted. It was amazing. Zadig Jewelers is your one-stop shop for all watches, whether it's a purchase, whether it's very select items that you can get exclusive watches that are in there. They also have they have guys who can repair watches at, and I'm talking about any type of watch. They have to be certified in all of these amazing watches, all the different types of watches, and they do an incredible job for you. Zadig Jewelers is the best in the business for all things watches, whether it's selection, service, price, and of course, when you're going to get it repaired, they're the place that the people from around the state come to. It's Zadig Jewelers. They're at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. That's Zadig Jewelers.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.